Hello and welcome to The Check-In on KBIA, our daily forum for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thank you for checking in today. So today we're going to be talking about seniors. Some of us are seniors. Some of us are helping look out for seniors in our lives. Some of us are frontline providers of seniors in nursing homes and other facilities. How are you staying safe out there, staying in touch, and getting through this pandemic as a senior or a family member of one? Our guests are going to be Professors Lori Popejoy and Professor Amy Vogelsmeyer. They are both professors at MU's Sinclair School of Nursing, and they specialize in gerontology, and they are very much in touch with the network of nursing homes in Missouri. They'll be giving us a view into Missouri's nursing homes and long-term care facilities, and they'll be talking with us about what it's like to be a senior in today's crisis. So throughout this half hour, Lori Popejoy and Amy Vogelsmeyer are with us. You can join the discussion if you have a question or comment for them. Are you a senior, and how are you staying healthy or getting by right now? Maybe you're a healthcare provider at a nursing home or long-term care facility, or do you have a family member in a long-term facility? And if so, how are you and your family managing right now? Give us a call. Let us know what's going on with you. Join our discussion. But before we get to Professors Popejoy and Vogelsmeyer, we want to bring in Rebecca Smith. Becky Smith has been looking into the situation of nursing homes in Missouri. She's been doing a lot of talking with people on the front lines. Becky Smith, are you with us?
I am here. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Becky. Thanks for joining us today. Becky, let me just ask first, you know, what are you finding? You have been looking into what the situation is like at nursing homes. What have you found so far?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of calls on nursing homes. We may not see it on KBIA yet, but there'll hopefully be stories coming in the next week or so. But I've really been looking at quite a few things in the immediacy, right, Janet? So how many cases have we seen in nursing homes across Missouri? How many facilities have reported cases? You know, more of those immediate things. But I'm also trying to go ahead and look forward a little bit. You know, what are some of these potential long-term complications that could come from the isolation that's a necessity for these residents in nursing homes to keep them safe? And also, how is the health of the staff, right? You know, if we don't have a staff to take care of these residents, of course things aren't going to go well. And so just those basics, but also trying to look at some of the long-term effects as, you know, we are looking at, you know, the stay-at-home orders lifting and things opening back up. You know, what is this going to look like for the next, you know, month, 6 months, you know, year potentially for these residents?
Okay, so what are you hearing from people, both as far as providers and others on the front lines of this? What stands out to you?
Oh, so many things. I mean, I think, Janet, like you mentioned, I don't think anyone really is totally separated from the world of nursing homes. You know, I have family members in my family that are in nursing homes. And so this is something that impacts everyone, even if you're not living in a facility right now. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's really sticking out to me is, and I'm sure Lori Popejoy can speak more to this today as well, is that Missouri is pretty lucky in that we have this program called the Quality Improvement Program of Missouri that works to help coordinate care for nursing homes. And so they're really trying to help secure PPE for these nursing homes. But that has been very, very difficult, right? A non, you know, quote unquote, proper, you know, health center has been having a lot of difficulty getting this PPE to keep staff and residents safe. The other thing is, you know, nursing homes tend to be what's called resource poor. There's not a huge number of staff. There's usually less RNs on staff that have good education and infection control. And, you know, it's probably PPE, but other basic resources as well. And so that's one of the things I'm really focusing on is while we've heard of these big cases at the, you know, in these large epicenters of population, there are devastating accounts that I've been hearing about small rural nursing homes. And, you know, maybe you have one case, but that spirals. And, you know, even if you only have one resident in these smaller rural nursing homes that gets sick, well, hopefully you can control that. But that's also a hugely significant loss for these nursing homes that often have less residents. The other thing, Janet, like I mentioned, is that I'm trying to look forward to, like, what are these long-term effects? And I think, you know, one of the things I've heard a lot of people talk about is how do you balance humanistic care as a caregiver with, you know, trying to prevent the spread of disease amongst this really, really vulnerable population that's in close quarters. And so, you know, it's with dementia patients, how do you communicate to them why they can't leave their room, why they have to wear a mask, you know, those sorts of things, but also really worrying and looking ahead. Are we going to see weight loss? Are we going to see decreased functioning because there's less activities for individuals to participate in, or, you know, less cognitive stimulation from conversation with family members? And, you know, hopefully more on a health side of things, hopefully we will avoid things like bed sores, right, from potentially being less active during this time of protecting health. But we have to look at health as more just, you know, more than just keeping people alive, right? We do have to start considering, at least in my opinion, what this looks like I said, 6 months, a year down the road.
Well, and like you say, yeah, 6 months, a year down the road, I think a lot of families, like your own family, Becky, are dealing with having a family member in a nursing home. Being on the outside of that is very stressful and very uncertain right now. And these, you have set us up well, Becky. These are all things that we will want to unpack with Professors Popejoy and Vogelsmeyer here. They are the experts. Anything that you want to leave us with, though, Becky, that we should keep in mind? As you said, everything you just mentioned here, you've set us up. We're going to tackle over the next half hour here. It sounds like a lot of people are taking it a day at a time, but we do want to think about the long terms of effects. So we'll be talking about both. Anything more to add, Becky, that you want to leave us with that you would like to see us talk about here today?
Just a couple quick things, Janet, not to steal more time away from the fabulous guests you have today. But one thing, I hope people obviously will call in on the check-in, but if you have stories of your own about how you're feeling, about family members in nursing homes, or you're a nurse who's having to balance these things, please reach out to either myself for Missouri Health Talks, or of course, Christopher Husted's project, Where You're At. We'd love to hear those stories and be able to share those with our listeners. I guess the last couple things just on this specific topic, Janet, is nursing homes are trying to be creative. I actually, a couple weeks ago, was able to go on a socially distanced puppy visit to a nursing home here in Columbia, where a rescue here in town went and held up puppies to windows. So there was still some interaction, which was very nice. And then the last thing I want to add is I was lucky enough last week to be able to sit in on a QIPMO, the Quality Improvement Program of Missouri, a support group for directors of nursing throughout the nursing homes of Missouri. And it was about conquering COVID fear, how to deal with your own mental health as a caregiver. And there's just one moment from that I wanted to share that is obviously amazing recommendation for caregivers, but I think also maybe just a good reminder for all of us, Janet. And one of the things that really stuck out to me, and I've really been thinking about, just as myself, you know, aside from my reporting, is trying to stay out of the negative talk and the panic talk. And I've really been trying to put that into use in my own life. But I think just a good thing to remember coming out of some of this reporting I've been doing on nursing homes.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that, Becky. I'm really happy to hear about the puppy through the windows visits. I know some people are visiting their loved ones through windows, and that's just a reality of life right now, and that's what that looks like. So thanks for sharing that with us, Becky. We will continue to follow your reports. Thank you so much, and please take care.
Of course. Thanks so much, Janet. Be well.
Okay. Again, that's Rebecca Smith, KBIA healthcare producer, and she would like to hear from you if you're experiencing this crisis from a nursing home or with a family member in a nursing home as a provider, a patient, family member, whatever is going on with you. Feel free to get in touch with her at kbia.org. You can find all of us really at kbia.org. You can also call our KBIA voicemail line, like Becky mentioned there. That number is 877-532-0971. Again, that's 877-532-0971 to let us know where you're at for that project, or to reach out to talk with Rebecca Smith about your experience. And we're here having a conversation over the next half hour again with Professors Lori Popejoy and Amy Vogelsmeyer. Professor Popejoy and Vogelsmeyer, welcome to the check-in.
Hello.
Thank
Glad to
you.
Be here.
Hi.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. As you heard, there's a lot to unpack with so much going on. You know, let me start. We want to really dive into what's going on with the state of nursing homes and people who are dealing with that. But let me start with a general question, actually, for listeners who, many of our listeners actually are part of the senior community and in that age range. What are you all observing as gerontology experts and people who have worked with seniors for a long time on the front lines as nurses? As you're observing this crisis unfold, what can seniors do to stay healthy right now? What are your thoughts? Why don't we start with you, Professor Vogelsmeyer?
Well, if we're talking about older adults in the community, then it's really about being mindful of their own health state, being really conscientious about being protected if they do have to go out in the community. And, you know, I tell my own mother-in-law, who's 82, to really minimize that and let family help support getting groceries and running errands and those kinds of things. But wearing their mask when they're out in the community, following all of the general good hygiene practices for infection mm-hmm. control, and really minimizing their exposure. Because we don't want them to completely isolate if at all possible, to try to maintain some sort of mental health state, but just being completely mindful about that, particularly if they have conditions that put them at risk, lung disease, diabetes, being overweight, those kinds of things.
Okay, sounds like good advice. So to just pay attention, be mindful, and just check in with yourself, really, during this time. Lori Popejoy, anything to add to that?
I would add they need to continue to get out to exercise mm-hmm. in the fresh air, work in their yards if they have community homes, stay active. Just like the same advice we're giving to other people, it helps your mental health, it helps your physical health, but keep that social distance and be mindful of who you're interacting with.
All right. For both of you, are there any innovations or good practices or resources that you're seeing that are helpful for seniors out in the community right now that you're seeing maybe some of your own family members, but that you're seeing people engage in that are helpful? Lori, back to you.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
So one of the things that I, think has been beneficial is the opportunity to really order things online. I mean, I know that sounds simple, but just being able to access their groceries and that kind of thing. And then, of course, staying connected with family through, phone calls and FaceTime and that kind of thing. But as far as resources, Dr. Popejoy, I live very rural, so resources in my home community are a little bit more limited.
Yeah.
Dr. Popejoy is in the Columbia area, so she may be able to speak to something a bit more innovative.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that I have anything more innovative, but my mother, who's in her 80s, and my sister and I, my sister lives in Wisconsin, and myself, we got together on a Zoom call, and mm-hmm. she really enjoyed just having both her daughters there at the same time. And so Zoom is... There is a Zoom product that people don't have to actually pay for, so it's worthwhile, I think, to think about these different opportunities that are there to pull your family together in a virtual way. I think it surprised my mom and dad that, I can talk to them both at the same time. My dad got a real kick out of it. Unfortunately, he doesn't hear very well, so it was sort of hard for him to communicate, but it worked really well for my parents. So things that you don't think you're going to really want to do, my mother wasn't all that, thrilled about it, but once she did it, she was fine.
That's good to know. I think that's been my experience too with my family. And I think, Zooming does remind people that you're there and that you care about each other and that you're out there and you can have a conversation. It's not the same as a hug. It's not the same as the physical, but it's something. So let me just remind listeners, you are with KBIA's The Check-In today. We're checking in on seniors and how you're getting by, how you're thriving or not so much. If you're struggling, let us know what's going on with you. We're talking with Lori Popejoy and Amy Vogelsmeyer, two professors with the Sinclair School of Nursing at MU. You can join the conversation. Let us know how you're staying well right now, especially if you're a senior out in the community. Maybe you're someone who's working with seniors in a nursing home or as a family member, let us know how it's all going. What workarounds have you found, or what resources are you needing? Let me get into the state of the nursing homes going on. A lot of us have heard nursing homes have been called ground zero for the COVID crisis, and we're seeing some really terrible things unfolding in New Jersey, California, places like even in Kansas. One of our colleagues has reported on a major outbreak there in a Kansas facility. So it's very challenging right now. Let me just ask both of you, as two people who are very keyed into these networks, what is the state of the nursing homes in Missouri right now? Why don't we start with you, Lori?
Well, we have a lot of COVID in nursing homes in the St. Louis area, as you would imagine. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, once they have COVID in the building, they seem to be, it frees them up to get more resources fairly quickly. You know, that's problematic in the fact that you want more resources there earlier, so, you know, you can safeguard the staff and the residents. I don't think there's an easy answer to that, unfortunately. PPE is in short supply, and we're trying to get it everywhere at one time in the healthcare world. So I think it is very challenging. It would be a mistake to think that it's not elsewhere in the state, and indeed, it's scattered throughout in at the areas you mentioned, the Kansas City area, Springfield. I don't know of any facilities in Columbia yet, but there may be that I'm not aware of. And as you know, Dr. Vogelsmeyer lives in Saline County. You've got areas, these hot spots in rural areas that are starting to evolve. So if my guess is it's somewhere, we just don't know it's there yet.
Okay. Amy Vogelsmeyer, what are you seeing in Saline County in the rural area?
Well, as far as nursing home cases, it's, to my knowledge, as of this morning, and we know this all changes so rapidly, but to my knowledge, there have not been any nursing homes reported positive. I could be mistaken on that, in Saline County. And what we're seeing here seems to be, we have a lot of positive cases. These are people who are not being hospitalized. I think we've had one or two in one of our local hospitals, in our local hospital in Saline County, one or two community-dwelling individuals who have been hospitalized, and a two or three that maybe have been transferred out to larger hospitals because of the acuity of illness. They were a little sicker. But for the most part, people are returning to their homes and they're sheltering in place. And the nursing homes are really being hypervigilant. And, you know, Dr. Popejoy spoke to the fact that, you know, if you, you know, unfortunately, when you're seen as an area of high need, you actually get access to resources. And we are seeing that in Saline County. Our local hospital and nursing homes do have access to more PPE because they see this potential. So I think, you know, fingers crossed and knocking wood, that things are holding pretty steady. You know, we are really mindful that when it is in the community, as widespread as it is, that it's very likely that employees working within these settings, hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living, and that, you know, these congregate areas, that family members may be employees. So people who have a positive family member at home may be actually out working in these facilities. So they're carefully screening employees every day doing, and I think this is pretty widespread across, this has become the standard now, across all healthcare settings, but you screen people and make sure they, you know, are using PPE the right way in the right conditions, depending on who they're interacting with, and checking for temperatures, asking for lots of symptom presentation and those kinds of things.
Okay.
The thing we can't deal with, of course, is the asymptomatic presentation. So
yes.
That's a problem across the board, of course.
The big challenge with this virus. And we're talking with Amy Vogelsmeyer and Lori Popejoy, two professors with the MU Sinclair School of Nursing. And we're talking about what seniors are going through right now. Also, if you're a family member or a provider dealing with seniors, dealing with nursing homes, let us know what things look like for you. And let's take a call from Mark calling from Columbia. How are you doing, Mark?
Hi, Janet. I'm doing very well. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I am a senior, but I'm living independently, and I'm fine. at the moment, but my mom is 96, and she lives at one of the senior living centers here in Columbia.
Okay.
And it's been a source of great anxiety and stress for me and my sister, everyone involved, that she's in such a vulnerable situation. Now, they've been doing a great job where she lives at, so far, keeping the problem out, the virus out, but, at any point in time, a worker who works there can bring it in and it can spread like wildfire, despite the best efforts to contain it. So it's obviously stressful, and the fact that, people can't have visitors increases the stress. It's a sensible policy. But what we really need, in my opinion, is to do massive testing and tracing of contacts so that we actually wipe out this disease. And unfortunately, our state and our federal governments have not committed to that. We're only testing about 150,000 people a day when we should be testing millions on a daily basis. So it's very anxiety-producing, particularly when they're going to be opening up the state again, which is going to lead to certainly some kind of a spike in cases as people come out of their homes and get back out in public, even with social distancing and other measures that people can take. It's just playing with like Russian roulette.
Yeah, Mark, thank you so much for letting us know what's going on with you. And, I'd love to ask you more. And I'm really sorry that you're having to deal with this, but I'm really glad that you are not having any huge issues with your mother and her nursing home right now. Let me go to Lori. Do you have any comments for Mark?
I absolutely agree with everything he's saying. We're in the state that we're in right now. We need to rapidly accelerate testing. We need to understand tracing. We need to get back to good public health practices. We've underfunded public health for quite a while in the United States and in Missouri, and I think we're reaping the benefit of that to a certain extent. I don't think it'll continue, obviously, in that vein. We're going to have to rapidly accelerate and understand once more the importance of public health to our citizens. Regarding his mother, I can appreciate being worried, and I think it's incredibly difficult not to be able to visit, and we're going to have to figure out a strategy to deal with that eventually. It can't go on indefinitely, but we need to be smart about it, and we need to step in solutions to that make sense, that safeguard the entirety of the organization. The healthcare providers are the only ones coming and going, predominantly out of facilities, and they do indeed. We have found in St. Louis that it is the healthcare providers that really are bringing COVID into the building. Not doesn't even have to be the staff of that facility. If they have someone drawing blood, a phlebotomist coming in, somebody doing an X-ray, they are testing those, are checking those people at the door to make sure those providers that they're not running a fever and that they're not symptomatic, and they should be donning apparel and wearing a mask so they don't inadvertently spread. But when it does get started, sometimes it's patients, residents who have been to the hospital that come back and they have an infection, and there's a lot of efforts to control it on that side. There's a lot of efforts to control the in and out of the organization. And then once you do have a case, isolating those residents to a specific wing of the nursing home is considered to be the best practice, and not having people who are infected in the general population.
All right. Thank you for that, Professor Popejoy. One thing I wanted to ask you is, Mark is expressing concern about all of this, the possibility of an outbreak in his nursing home, and there isn't one right now. The Centers for Medicare Services recently required nursing homes to now report any COVID cases, I think, within 12 hours. Will this put some families' minds at rest, and how is this going to impact nursing home operations? Lori, do you want to answer that?
Sure. Well, I think it'll put their minds at rest, and it'll also create terrible anxiety. So I think it's a double-edged sword, right? But they definitely have a right to know if there's an infection in the building. This is not something you hide. There has to be absolute transparency about what's going on in that building at all times, because that's important to trust. And residents and family members need to be able to trust the care provision of their parent or their loved one in the nursing home. I think it's important that we continue to try to encourage communication between the resident and their family member in any means possible, with the balance that nursing homes may be facing staff shortages right now, and everything is taking much more effort and time to do, because residents are in their rooms, they're not doing congregate meals any longer. When you have to go room to room to room to help people get fed, to assure that they're up and getting up safely and getting toileted, it just takes much more time when people are isolated in their rooms. So I think there's tremendous stress on the organization, and then this is not that they don't want to be communicating individually with family members, but again, that is a very time-consuming task, and so trying to balance out how do you deliver care, assure that communication is occurring, and assuring that good practices for quarantining residents and isolating them in their rooms, which I think just sounds, you know, when I say that word isolating in their in their rooms, I just hate the sound of that. It sounds very lonely.
Yes, there's a lot of things that just sound very challenging and just very sad to deal with right now. Thank you for sorting that for us, Professor Popejoy. Let's go to Sarah. Sarah's calling from St. Louis. Sarah, thanks for calling into the check-in. How are things going?
Things are going well. So I'm calling on behalf of the Alzheimer's Association to offer, I think, hopefully some support, not only to our long-term care communities. I think, as you've discussed, you know, just are seeing such challenges, but also some opportunities for our caregivers and people who are living with dementia, hopefully to stay connected and engaged.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah, for that call. We are actually close to running out of time, so I really just need to give Professor Popejoy, Professor Vogelsmeyer, just a quick last word from both of you. We could go easily another half hour, so hopefully you'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. Sarah called in reminding us of the Alzheimer's Society. One other challenge is dealing with dementia in so many of the nursing homes. So there's just challenge upon challenge, and we'll just keep the conversation going. Anything that you'd like to leave us with, particularly for families dealing, like Mark, who called in dealing with this situation, that you'd like to leave us with? Let's go with you first, Amy, and then Lori.
Well, first of all, I'd like just kind of on the heels of this discussion about more testing and more reporting. So particularly the numbers that will be reported will actually increase. And so we'll increase our awareness of the existence of COVID in nursing homes.
Yes.
And the other thing, just real briefly, is that, you know, we are still seeing we are seeing nursing home residents recover. And some of them have very mild symptoms. So it's not an automatic, if they are infected, that it means that they won't survive. Many of these residents are actually recovering. So focus on more of the positive stories than on the negative.
All right. Lori, we're pretty much out of time. Any last word, quickly?
I absolutely agree with what Amy said. You have to look at both the positive and the negative and try not to get so deep down into the negative. But most people are recovering from this. And just to keep that in mind.
All right. Thank you, Lori and Amy. Thanks so much, both of you, for coming in today.
Thank you.
For joining us on The Check-In. That's it for The Check-In today. Thanks for checking in with us. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.